Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. Today, we got a fun one, man, but before I introduce to you who is on the show, gotta say hi to Nick. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. He is Nick. I am JP. We are the hosts of Dadcast. Today on the show, we have country superstar musician, Mr. Craig Campbell, rocking his Tesla, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well.
Good, good. I'm sorry, that cut out. Do we hear you okay right now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I said, I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. We're good, man. We're happy awesome. You're on here.
Really good.
You are now officially the first guest in well over 100 guests that is doing their show live from their Tesla. And we talked about doing it in mine back when I had mine, but wow. Yeah, go figure, Nick.
We did a vlog. Yeah,
we did a vlog, but Craig Campbell's the first guest doing it from his Tesla, man, which I think is absolutely amazing. All right, well, Craig, so the premise of Dadcast, man, it's two dads, Nick and I, who talk to celebrity dads, you in this case, about being dads, our path, the adventure, all that good stuff. Now, we do, of course, have guests on the show who are not dads. Some are women, obviously not dads, but that begs the question, and the very first question is the rite of passage on Dadcast. Are you a dad?
I am a dad. Yes. Times two.
Times two. Top boys, girls, talk to us.
Got two girls. Presley, she's my oldest. She just turned 15 last weekend. And then my Kenny Rose, she is 12 years old. And she's they're both, and I'm blessed. I got two great kids. Makes being a dad really awesome. And it's so crazy how much they are alike, but then also how different they are. Presley, they is one of my amazing sweetheart, like super sensitive, tenderhearted, amazing little old singer. And Kenny Rose is the opposite of that. She don't give a damn about nothing. and when I say that, I mean that like she don't like. Presley's right now, she's a little boy crazy. Kenny has boys that are like, you know, that are coming around saying that they like her, but she don't care about that. She's like, I'm just here to party, man. You know, like, none of that phases me, you know, it's just, yeah, it's amazing how alike they are, but also how different they are.
Gotcha. Now, how is that? How is it for dad being that the 15-year-old daughter is boy crazy? How are you handling all that?
I hate it. And you know, but at the same time, I'm navigating. I've never been here before. And we've had these conversations, me and her. It's like, you know, every day with her is new as far as being a dad to a 15-year-old. I've never done that before. And,
right.
You know, she's never been 15 either. So it's like me and her are learning this together, and it's a challenge. But I feel like I'm doing the best I can, and she's doing the best she can.
Have you answered the door wearing a shotgun yet?
well, she hasn't been on any kind of dates like that yet, but I'm ready. I'm ready for that date whenever he shows up.
That's good stuff.
Embarrass her, but yeah, it is what it is.
Are you still getting along well with the older one? Because in Nick and I's experience, right about 15 years old, they entered that zone of basically we hate dad. We know everything. Dad, you couldn't possibly know anything about the world and the way of life, and really enter that independent type thing. How's that working out for you? Is that there?
Yeah. I mean, we are kind of there. I think she still respects me and still I feel like I'm still that authority figure for her. I'm still her dad. I'm still there when she needs me. And she calls me for certain things, but she also, you know, she also has the mind frame of, I don't understand, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's hard for me to explain to her, like, baby, I've been there. I know. And I find myself saying the same things my parents said to me, and I always thought they were stupid as well.
Yep.
But you know, it's like, and it's for me at this moment, I know what the boys her age are thinking, and that's the trouble.
Yes.
With it all.
And trying to pound that into their head, delicately, respectively, without coming across negatively to in the mind of a 15-year-old, that is the pickle. That is the battle. I think, Nick, I'm a little bit on my way out of it with my oldest. She just turned 18 back in December. And St. Patrick's Day, just a couple days ago, she had a boyfriend over for dinner. And, you know, we did the whole corned beef and hash and all that good stuff and cabbage. And he was super polite and said all the right things. And right in the middle of it, I just looked at him and says, you know, you can be yourself, kid. You know, you're an adult. My daughter's an adult. You're telling me all the things I want to hear, but, you know, I'm 10 feet away from you when you're hanging out talking to her, and I could see how, you know, you really are. So let's cut the act, man. Let's just be you. I want to know who you are, because right now it's a negative impression because I feel like you're faking it with me, and you know that they're all adults. But so it's yeah, man, difficult, tough. But
my favorite is my daughter's very into church and youth group, so she always shows up with the boys from youth group, and I'm like, Emma, I was a boy that went to youth group. You know, we all thought the same thing. You know, just be careful. And she's like, but Dad, he's a good church boy. I'm like, yeah, he might be a good church boy, but still be careful.
Right. I was you know, strong Southern Baptist growing up in South Georgia. Matter of fact, I played piano for my church from the time I was about 9 years old till I graduated. And, so yeah, we went to church Sunday night, or Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, vacation Bible school, revival, all of that. Church lock-ins, which is, now that I'm a dad, is a terrible idea.
I don't know who started idea. That.
Yeah. It's the worst idea.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if Presley brings home a boy that she's like, oh, but daddy goes to church. I'm like, okay, yeah.
That's not helping.
I know all about those guys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Take us back, man. About 16 years ago, it was a fateful day, and the wife, girlfriend, whatever at the time, let you know that you were going to be a dad. How were those emotions? Yeah, can you recall that day?
It was a trip, man. We had just moved into a new house, and it was, you know, one of those. I can tell you the whole story about just how it all, the process even led up to getting moving into this house. But, yeah, she said, hey, I'm late. And I'm like, you know, my first thought was late for what?
Right.
You know, it's the middle of the week. We have no plans. And anyways, you know, then I was like, oh my gosh. And like, we weren't trying, but we had decided to stop, not being able to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we're like, hey, if it happens, we are in a space in our lives now that it's a good time to do this. And so it wasn't a shock, but at the same time, you never can be 100% prepared for that. And I would say the biggest change for me is just the emotions that I went through. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, me and Mindy, we can take care of ourselves, but now I gotta figure out how to take care of another human being. And that was, I was barely, you know, I was a brand new husband. So I still don't even know how to do that. So it was, all of this was new. And, so then the idea of that, you know, it filtered over into my songwriting and my performing, and the perspectives that I had that changed immediately. Like, a lot of things that I thought was important was no longer important, and things that were important had never even been on my radar. So that was that all happened fairly quick.
Now, fast forward, were you in the room for birth?
Yeah.
How'd that day go?
It was great. A quick story. I had told my wife, about 2 weeks before her due date, I said, look, you don't be coming home with no gas in your car. Cause you know, we live about 30 minutes from the hospital. And, sure enough, you know, we get the morning of her due date. And here, another thing, she wakes up about 4 a.m. and says, oh, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. And I'm like, just get back in bed. It's, you know, it's your due date. It's in your head, blah, blah, blah. So she gets back in her bed, in the bed. A little bit later, she says, she gets back up. She's like, man, I'm telling you, something ain't right. And I said, either go into labor or get back in bed and shut up. And she did. And then the third time she hops up real fast and she's standing in the bathroom and her water broke. I said, okay, I believe you now.
All right. Yep. It's time.
So, and then sure enough, we get in the car, her gas light's on.
Oh, no.
So she's in labor. I had to stop and get $5 worth of gas just to make it to the hospital. And then we get there. It's about 5:30 in the morning by this point. And I just park in the very first parking spot I could get to. And just long story short, she ends up having to have an emergency C-section. So I'm scrubbed up. I got the outfit on, the mask, the head, the gloves. And over the intercom, somebody says, if you drive a silver Honda Civic tag number, blah, 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 you are about to be towed. And that was our car. Because we had parked in one of the doctor's parking spots. And he was not happy about it.
Oh, no.
So I was like, hey, that's my car. And the nurse was like, baby, you don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. You go have that baby. And my father-in-law went out there and moved the car. But yeah, it was an eventful morning. Not only did I become a dad, there was a lot going on.
Yes, sir. Well, there usually is. So Nick can tell you here. I'm transitioning in for Nick here real quick. Nick is basically the same age as you. You guys are from the same cloth as far as age is concerned. And he just had a baby girl. She's what? 2 months old, Nick?
Yeah, eight weeks today.
8 weeks.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Bless your heart.
Is it possible that a baby brother could join the Camel residence, or is that ship sailed?
No, that ship sailed about a month or two after Kenny was born. I went and took care of that. I took myself out of the father pool again.
All right. Well, I hate to break it to you, but Nick did the same thing.
So I have seven kids, and my youngest at the time when we started having kids again was 13. Yeah, 13. And my wife, I got remarried and she didn't have any kids. And she's like, hey, I really want to have a kid. So I'm like, I'm fixed. That ship sailed a long time ago. So we ended up getting unfixed and went through IVF. And we have a 2-year-old and an 8-week-old now. So I'm a glutton for money.
A 2-year-old, not 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You just said you had a two and an eight.
Yeah, sorry. Two-year-old and a 8-week-old.
All right. So, okay. So then we're just holding out to be a granddad to kids then. A granddad to a boy.
Gotcha. Now, look, if the good Lord decided that, you know, miracles happen, you know, and I end up fathering another child with my wife, I mean, that it's just meant to be. And, you know, so that is what that is. But as far as like, no, I mean, I'm no longer a player in the game, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I hear you. It's like,
did you take your girls out on tour with you and stuff? Did you guys?
I have. I mean, they've been on the road with me a little bit, you know, but I've always been where I am in my career. There's, when I travel on a bus or whatever, there's always eight other dudes on the bus, and it's hard to bring a family out with all that. And plus there's, on the road is super, super boring. Contrary to popular belief, there's, you know, you get to a county fair, there's nothing to do. You're usually in the middle of nowhere. And so that's super boring. Now I do have a few places that I've been that if that I've written down that if I go back, I'll take my family because I know they'll have a great time. But yeah, I mean, they've been out with me a little bit, but not all the time.
Does the oldest take advantage? Actually, do either of them take advantage yet of dad being a rock star and using that to their advantage in any way?
Sometimes. I mean, they don't use it, but like sometimes whenever we're out and somebody, I get recognized and people come up and want to take a photo. I could tell that makes them very proud of me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, on the flip side of that is like, it's all normal. This is all they've ever known. So
yeah,
nothing surprises them about, you know, the crowds that I play in front of or the bus that I roll around in. It's just like, it is what it is. You know, for the longest time, they actually thought everybody's dad did what I did.
It's funny you say that. We've had a few guests come on that said the exact same thing. You know, I forget who it was, but you know, that's just the normal. That's what you do, man. That's life. For me now, granted, I'm about 75 pegs below you when it comes to celebrityism, but I work in radio and have for about 20 years in the area that we live here in Southern Oregon, and in a 40 square mile radius, I'm pretty famous. And everywhere we go, doesn't matter where we go, every single time we go anywhere with either of my kids out, someone's like, oh, JP, what's up, man? How are you? Blah, 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 blah. You know, they do the thing. And they just assume that I'm some, you know, super famous guy. And like I said, around here I am. But again, I get out of that 40 square mile range and I'm just a nobody. And it's fantastic. I'll tell you what.
I don't know, man. But Vegas is starting to pop off for us, though.
Yeah, Vegas is starting to recognize us with the podcast and all that good stuff. But
well, I mean, I can disappear into a crowd with the ball cap on. You know, if I don't have my cowboy, it's hard to be recognized without my cowboy hat on. So, I mean, I love wearing the cowboy hat, but then sometimes, you know, it's just like, okay, I can take it off and just blend in.
Right. So let's shift away from the children here real quick. Let's talk about the career and the music, man. I did a little deep dive and I saw a gap, a little bit of a gap. And then recently things are starting to pick up again. So talk to us, man. What's up with the new music? You touring, all the good stuff.
Yeah. So over the last 10 years, I've had a couple of record deals, and when you're signed to a record deal, what they do is they'll go in and just cut a whole, you know, record a bunch of songs, and they'll only put out one or two, or sometimes they'll put out a record, sometimes they don't. So in my case, two record deals ago, I recorded a whole record and it never came out. And then when I was at Broken Bow, I recorded probably a dozen songs that never came out. So whenever I left those record deals, I was able to take all those songs with me.
Nice.
And now that I'm independent, I can do whatever I want. And so I thought, man, I love those songs. There's no reason for those songs to be sitting on a hard drive. So I finished them and decided, to turn them loose, let them live. And that's what we did. We did that. The first half of the record came out February the 17th. And now the second half of that record will be out in June.
Boom.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Any shows planned for it?
Man, we're always touring. I just was in Miami Friday night. I'm off this weekend, but we got a lot of cool stuff coming up for the end of March, and then April kind of it starts getting real busy for the summer. But yeah, I'm always doing something.
So you're just in Miami. See, I love doing a format like this where we can just talk about anything and everything that comes up. Big fish taco aficionado. And I spend a lot of time, at least once a year, haven't been there yet. In fact, this is the time of year I'm supposed to be there, but South Florida, Hollywood, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, me and the lady, we vacation there. And sometimes I just fly out there just to eat fish tacos. What is your favorite thing about Miami? You know, I'm dead serious. I'm like, I spent $2,000 on flights and we're going to get tacos.
Last year he texted me, he's like, hey, I'm going to get fish tacos. I'm like, bro, we're in Oregon. What are you doing?
Well, you see the weather like what it's like this time of year in Oregon, man. So, but as far as Miami and the south of Florida is concerned, do you have much time to, you know, hang out and do anything? And if so, what is it you like to do there, man? Or if you vacation there then?
So, well, no, I don't, I try to, I'm not a party guy.
Right.
So, and Miami is that. And
And neither am I. I'm a food guy.
So this past Friday was the first time I'd ever been to South Beach. So was there, and you know, I'm a firm believer in no matter where you are, if it has some culture, find it and enjoy it. So Miami has a lot of Cuban flair. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, where do we go eat this? That has the best Cuban flair. So we went to a place called Havana.
Right. You had a Cubano
and I had
sandwich, little pork and pickles. Mm.
Well, my couple of my band members did. I did not. I got something that the waitress recommended that was, I think it was better than what they had, but it was a steak. It was on the Cuban bread.
Right.
And it was just delicious. And then we had some really good mojitos. And man, I'm telling you what, it didn't take but two pitchers and me and my band were like feeling it. but it was great, great food. As far as Miami Beach and Miami itself, like you asked me what's my favorite part. I don't know that I have anything that's my favorite part. I love being there and I love doing the show, but I was ready to get out of there too.
I can understand that too. It's like I'm not
my cup of tea.
I'm not a big partier either. Like I said, I'm a big eater and you know, spend some time on the beach, get a little Airbnb, do a little shopping, eat some tacos. That's what we go there for. And we try to also make it down to the Keys because I also like driving. And just driving that 3.5 hours from Miami down to Key West and back is amazing. It's a whole different world.
I've done that when, you know, for the Songwriter Festival, we flew into Fort Lauderdale and rented a car and drove the rest of the way. That is a beautiful drive. And you talk about some good food. There's some good food between there and Key West.
Oh, yes, there is. Alabama Jack's. I don't know if you heard of it.
I've been there.
Okay. All right, man. You know what I'm talking about. Some conch fritters.
And then what's that place that you stop and you could feed the tarpon?
There's so many different places. Is it Isla Morada somewhere? I think.
I can't remember the name of it.
But yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, man. So I think I'm going to book my tickets and surprise Jen, Nick, as soon as we're done. We don't have a very busy, what's next month? April?
April's pretty dead.
Yeah, we got to get there before October, man.
Place to play shows? I mean, because you're not like, you don't like tour like nonstop, like some of the younger artists, right? Like you're kind of doing the bigger festival type deals.
Well, I do. I'm very selective on the shows that I play. I mean, they're very specific. Like I'm first and foremost, I'm trying to make some money. Second, if it's in front of a big, big crowd, then, you know, I don't have to make as much money because of the exposure side of it.
Right.
And then, you know, there's, so I don't tour like I did when I first started. I was gone. I was sleeping in another bed, like that wasn't my bed. Probably 250 nights a year. Mm-hmm. But now I've scaled it back. I do about 65 shows a year.
That's cool. Do you have like a favorite place you go to? Like favorite venue, favorite area?
Oh man, I don't care, man. I can play a show in front of 20,000 people that could give a damn if I'm there or not. But then I could play a show in front of 200 people that are extremely fired up that I'm there and are there to have a good time and hear some good music. And it's almost like, man, I think I'd rather do that.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
Something to be said about those intimate shows. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, they're there for you typically.
Right.
And yeah.
You know, some of these big festivals that you get, booked on, you know, they might be 25,000 people there, but I would venture to say that half of them are there just to party and have and drinking and get hammered up. And then you got the other half, you divide it up to amongst all the people that are on the bill. So, I mean, you might have a small pocket of fans there just for you, but man, there's a disconnection when it comes to those big festivals. So, I feel more comfortable being in a honky tonk in front of 500 of country music loving people that are there to for the music.
Yeah. I was talking to Aaron Lewis, came out to Bend, Oregon a few years ago, and I got to hang out with him for the day. And it's kind of the same thing. You know, he came from Stain playing the huge festival shows, stadium shows, and he played a small 500 seat venue in Bend. He's like, dude, this is way better because the fans love it. Everybody's there to hear the music and they can relate to the lyrics and stuff. And so it's kind of cool to hear that side of it instead of just, oh, I just want to play wherever. And
Craig Campbell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just for sure.
I'm sorry. You can play a show anywhere in the world with an artist living or dead who you have not previously played with. Who's it going to be and where's that show going to play at?
Oh man, it's crazy. I've been asked that question before and it's always a tough answer. I mean, I'd love to spend some time with Keith Whitley. I'd like to, I mean, you know, I say Keith Whitley would be my guy just so that but there would be a contingency of like, I get to spend the whole day with him and I get to talk to him and I get to ask him questions. So Keith there, and then where would we play? Let's say Bob's in Texas. Let's just say that. Let's just, you know, because it's classic honky tonk and, you know, it gets rowdy and they love their Shinerbach and just whiskey. And it's just, I think it'd be fun.
Where was that one more time? You broke up.
Billy Bob's in Texas.
Billy Bob's in Texas. All right, with Whitley.
Yep.
All right. So you'd love that answer. And Nick, normally I wait for that question, but it just seems so fitting right then and there. Right? Exactly. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Oh gosh, I had something on the tip of my tongue. I had it, and I got so excited when you're telling me about where in Texas. It was a daughter related question too, man. Oh, okay, we'll get back
to it.
It'll come back. So, where do you call home base now? Is it still, you still living in Tennessee?
Yeah, I live just south of Nashville, a little town called Eagleville.
All right. I made my first trip to Nashville in July of last year. Why are you laughing, Nick?
Because the circumstances of that trip are laughable.
Well, we won't discuss the circumstances of said trip. We're just going to state the fact that I went there and I got to go down, you know, that main strip where all the honky tonks are. And man, so cool. It's just, I mean, I'm a music guy. It doesn't matter what kind of music it is. If it's good, I like it. And and that has changed as I've gotten older, by the way. But I love that town. Now, I didn't like the fact that it was hot and ridiculous. And I think our good friend Barry Corbin said it was like sitting in a sponge in that time of year.
You know, I mean, and I will be honest with you, you know, Lower Broadway has changed a lot in the last maybe a year or two before COVID. And ever since COVID, man, it is lights out, insane. And I don't, it's again, that's not my cup of tea. You know, I had a guy call me the other day. He's like, hey, I got some friends in town. I want to show them around. Won't you meet us down on Lower Broadway? I said, negative.
Yeah,
it's negative. Y'all could have it on a Friday, too. I said, no, not doing it. It's just, and I hate to sound like the old guy, but man, when I was there, because that's where I got discovered. But when I was playing down there, man, you could go on between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and sit down and then just really enjoy some good music and no crowd. It was just good. Sit down, have a beer. Now, Fridays and Saturdays were what they were, but it ain't like that anymore, man. It ain't at all.
Yeah, it gave me a whole Mardi Gras feel, New Orleans, when I was down there. And little too packed, but I had to experience it. You know, I'm here. I got to check this out.
I tell people all the time, you got to at least go see it. Well, at least once. Go down there. Down there about 5:30, see the shift change. You know, when some the bands are switching over, and from 6 to 10, you know, enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. Also got the opportunity to go check out Johnny Cash's farm, which is just outside of Nashville. And there's like a mini. You been there? That little, like barn. Oh, there's like a little barn out there. It's like a mini museum with his car and just, whew, that was an experience, man. I had a good time, man.
So yeah, I've heard about it.
Would love, you should go check it out since you're there. It's, I mean, you walk in and you just, it's hard to explain, but it's almost as if he's there.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out with you a little bit. Nick, you got something?
No, I'm just adjusting.
You're adjusting? Man. All right.
We're talking about being the old guys.
I'm the oldest out of you, out of the three, for the record.
I don't know. My body's like an 80-year-old.
Craig Campbell, you going to make it out to the West Coast at all anytime this year?
Yeah, man. I'm actually going to be in Santa Rosa. I got something in Bakersfield. It's a fundraiser at the Crystal Palace.
Okay.
Coming up pretty soon. And then I'm also going to be at some resort doing an acoustic show, actually taking my family to that, coming up in July. Santa Rosa, I think, is where we're going. Where it is.
Close to San Francisco. Any Vegas dates?
No, but coincidentally, the guy that books Stoney's, his name is Toad. He texted me yesterday, and we were just back and forth, and he's like, yeah, we need to get you back out here, because I was there a few months ago at Stoney's and had a great time, so try to get out to Vegas at least once a year.
Okay. Well,
yeah, we need
to find out that date. We need to get it secured, because I spend many a day in Vegas, and I would love to check you out live and in person, man, and in Las Vegas.
Come on.
Because, well, it's Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm going to see. What is wrong with my brain today, Nick?
I don't know, man.
Zach Brown. Zach Brown Band next month in Vegas. I've yet to see Zach, and I'm looking real forward to that. By the way, don't book any podcasts for those dates, Nick. I'll let you know when they are. Excuse me. Getting over love, being a little sick. So 15-year-old, 12-year-old, complete opposites. They're getting close to that age, or one of them is getting close to adulthood there, Craig. What are your fears, if any, moving forward with these children? Because as dads, man, all of us, we all got something that we're just secretly scared of.
I'm fearful for my oldest to get her driver's license. she's a great kid. She's super smart, but man, she's easily distracted. And I was talking to my brother, and he's like, yeah, he said, man, when they get their driver's license, he said, you'll never sleep good again. He's like,
it's
not until they're home, under in their bed, lights off. He said it's just, and every time the phone rings, if you're gonna get a cold chill, because your first thought is something has happened.
I don't mean to I don't mean to exasperate what you just said, but I need to tell you a story from my own experience. Okay. So my daughter, who's 18 now, she got her license, I think about 16 and a half, 17 years old. So anyhow, she finally got her license. Don't even get me started on the training up to that part, you know, dear God, those are stories. But so she had her license for less than 12 hours. Okay. The night she got her license, she was staying at a friend's house or something along those lines. Wasn't home, and I go to get some food with my son, and we're at the drive-thru, and we leave the drive-thru, and I see a car that's very, very similar to my daughter's, and I pull up, and yep, there it is. It's her car. The stickers are everything that are in the windshield, and I wrap around front, and the whole thing's caved in. I mean, like a gnarly rear end accident. This car hit something else, and she's nowhere to be found, and she hasn't called us. And I like, oh my God. And by the way, I need to, I'm her stepdad. So she spends time with her dad and you know, our house. So we assumed she was over there because she was too afraid to call us and mom. But so we finally got her on the phone, and we're like, what's, are you okay? First of all, she's like, yeah, I'm fine. Everything's cool. And, you know, it was just a quick little fender bender. No one was hurt whatsoever. Her ego was certainly bruised and hurt a lot, but her excuse for not calling us was she was embarrassed. And I says, hey, girl, I get it. You know, boy, do I get it. And especially you. She's a little sensitive. But you can't do that. I mean, the worst case scenario happened. I found your car accidentally totaled, and you're nowhere to be found, and we haven't got a phone call. So, anywho, you know, not to scare you or anything even more, but, you know, can you imagine? That was...
No, on a personal level, too, when I was 16 years old, I was still living at home, but my sister was 9 years older than me. She was in a car wreck, and the phone rang about 11:30 one night. And sure enough, she was in a wreck, and she didn't make it. Mm. So that's always going to be in the back of my brain.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, that's tough, man. Sorry about that. That's whew.
To answer your question, that's my fear. My girl's driving.
Gotcha. Understandable. Hey, you know what? You throw her in that Tesla, man. That is one of the safest vehicles out there, if not the safest.
Well, that's the plan. The plan is she's going to get this one. And me and her mom will probably get another one. But yeah, that's part of it. You know, people are like, you're going to give your daughter a Tesla? I'm like, dude, I have the app. I can see it. I can see how fast she goes. I can shut it down.
You can make it so it doesn't go past 70 miles an hour ever.
it legit is one of the safest vehicles on the road.
Yep.
I don't care what people say.
There was a report recently. Now the facts behind said report are pretty gruesome, but a Tesla Model 3 went off a cliff in California in the beach. We're talking, you know, hundreds of feet, rolling over and over on rocks and landing at the bottom. Everyone in that car perfectly fine. Not barely a scratch or a bump. Now, the crappy part is the dad drove it off the cliff on purpose, but he didn't realize how safe that damn car was, and everything, you know, everyone survived. There was even an infant. I mean, they had 5 people in that car, and they're all fine. And I mean, if that's not a testament to the safety of this car, Tesla.
Yeah.
Go ahead and send one. Yeah, exactly. Courtesy of Dadcast. Right. Okay. Right. But yeah, man, what scares me, though, is how fast they are. And I know we could tweak them. We could tweak them. But, you know, for a 16-year-old girl, boy, you name it, that's pretty tempting, man. Even, you know, I guess you could put it in that disable the sport mode and just have it creep. I don't know. But, yeah, give her that car. Long story short.
Well, this one, like I said, the good thing is this one don't have the sport mode, so we're good.
Right. It's still pretty quick, though. I've driven them.
It is quick.
Nick, come on, baby. You got a fast 5 for us?
I do. I got some new questions this time,
you
too.
Do? I'm so proud of you. All right. As I mentioned earlier, Craig, I've worked in radio. This was a segment that we did on the radio called the Fast 5. He can ask you 5 quick questions. And, you know, they could be one-word answers. You can get in-depth. Entirely up to you. Nick, have at it.
All right. First one, do you have any silly TikTok dances with your daughter like Walker Hayes does?
I do have a TikTok dance. I'm not the TikTok dancer, but we just had a new song come out back in January, a song called Tractor Songs that was written and produced by a TikTok star named Walker Hayes. Mm-hmm. So he made up a dance, and then he challenged me. He's like, "Where you at, Craig?" And I'm like, "Well, damn it. Here we go. I got to do this dance." And I did it. We didn't, but I was able to get my wife and my daughter to do it with me. So it wasn't so bad.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I love watching Walker stuff. It's so good. Like gets the whole family involved. It's like, he seems like such a great guy.
Girl, you're knocking the restless off my boots.
Girl, you're knocking the restless off my boots.
You have a funniest dad fail. I'm sure we've all done stupid things as dads.
Funniest dad fail. Let's see. I will say that I'm forgetful, so I leave my daughters at school a lot, like when they need to get picked up. But the good thing is we only live like 3 minutes from our school, so it's like they can call and say, like, "Dad, you forgot us again. I'm like, hold on, be there in a minute. You know, so I mean, that's, I can't think of anything funny. I know there is something. I just can't think of it.
Fair enough. Let's go, Nick. Number three.
Favorite family activity.
Eating dinner at the table. Ever since they've gotten old enough to do club volleyball, it seems like we don't get to do that as often. So when we all have the opportunity to, you know, for us to cook dinner, the whole process of that is sit down and hold hands and say the blessing and talk about our day. And that's just, those days are precious.
That's awesome. This is a classic one. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
It would be, go listen to Craig Campbell's music. He might be the worst singer of all time.
That's incredible. And people are going to go listen to it because they got to find out if you are.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And then they're going to feel gypped because you're not.
Yeah. Your favorite dad accomplishment?
My favorite dad accomplishment would, that's a tough one. I feel like I said earlier in the cast that I have two great kids that it makes it easy to be a dad to. It's just, I feel like up to this point, I've raised two good girls that love Jesus and they love America and they love the Second Amendment and they love freedom. So I feel like I've done a good job with that.
Nice.
I know you just, so I got pieces all hanging out right in front of my desk. I don't know if you can see, but
yeah, I got one on my hip right now.
And here's, I got my charging handle. So tomorrow, Craig, I pick up my Mandalorian custom themed AR-15 pistol 300 blackout that is, I'm just chomping at the bit, man. I cannot wait to get at this thing. It's so cool. So I got a buddy of mine. Speaking of what, this is perfect timing. Redcon 1 Weapons in Eagle Point. If you need anything firearm related, go check it out. Redcon 1 Weapons. Ask for Dave. He's going to take care of you, whether it's Cerakote, laser engraving, parts, full builds, uppers, lowers, and everything in between. He's going to take care of you, man. And obviously, shop local, buy local. You're helping out the community. He just finished Cerakoting at titanium silver and laser engraved a custom serial number. I don't know how big of a Star Wars guy you are or if you even know what I'm about to talk about, but the serial number is This Is The Way, which is a...
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, that's like main thing.
I know a little bit about Star Wars, but I'm not deep in it like some super fans.
This guy, right? Exactly. I'm all over the place in my fandom. But anywho, I'm so excited. I got my red dot sitting right here, ready to throw on top of that thing, and friggin' I'm ready. Tomorrow is the day.
I get to shoot this thing?
Sure.
Yes. There's a guy that you probably would want to get on the podcast named DJ Silver.
We've had
Silver on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he loves some Star Wars now. Loves them.
Yeah. What was he? 99? I think it's about 10 episodes ago, give or take.
Yeah.
We talked about the whole Vegas thing and he was great, man. We were.
Talked a little bit of Star Wars.
Yeah, we did. We did. And yeah. I brought up Star, you know, I brought my, you don't even want to, we're not going to get into the Star Wars geek that I am, but the fact that I've now fused two of my hobbies together into one glorious AR that is, and it's a short, but I'm so excited. I could talk another hour just about this gun build and Redcon 1 weapons.
That's
Eagle Point, down, Eagle Point, Oregon. Go get it. Yeah, man. So we're looking forward to that. Craig, we are about out of time, but I do want to ask you one final question. It is what I consider the most important question I ask on this show. So no pressure. Here we go. If you could impart any bit of advice onto any new dad or about to be dad, What's it going to be?
Be patient the first 6 months of if you're about to be a dad, because the first 6 months suck. And then just be fair, be the dad. I mean, it's like there'll be a time where you can be friends and you can do cool things and that your kids will love you for that. But at the same time, you gotta be fair. And it's our job to steer them in the right direction and to provide them with safety and unconditional love. So that's the goal.
There you have it. All right. And that is that. And almost with perfect timing, I'm going to end this episode on a note. I would like you to meet my daughter, my youngest, Avery. This is Mr. Craig Campbell. He's a country music superstar. Say hi.
Hey, Avery. How are you?
Yes, how you were. Good. She's got dad through and through. She's not shy, but anytime I bring her out here on this type of thing, she just clams up. What are you doing, clammy?
We could be out in a crowd of people and she's just yakking it up. You bring her on and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What's
wrong? She gets a little nervous, but all right, baby girl. I'm gonna say goodbye to him and I'll be right in. I know. She just clams up and doesn't talk. What, baby? Can you ride your motorcycle? Yes, you can. You like that? She wants to ride her motorcycle.
Kenny Rose, my youngest, has had dirt bikes since she was 7 years old.
Yep, she got hers at 8, so we're right close.
Yeah.
Except hers is a little. It's a Tesla. It's an electric dirt bike. It's so cool.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, and dude, it's quick. And she's woof, 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 all over the neighborhood. It's crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Craig Campbell, country music superstar. Craig, tell everyone out there if they want to listen to your music, where's the best place to go?
Man, I've been blessed. You can just Google or just type in Craig Campbell on all the Spotify's and the Amazon's and the Pandora's and the Apple Music. I'm the first one that pops up, and then all of my social media is at Craig Campbell TV, except for TikTok. TikTok is at Craig Campbell Music.
And there you have it. Go check him out. Awesome. Craig, thank you so much for making some time to come on the show. We appreciate it, man. We've got a Father's Day episode. We record a couple of weeks before Father's Day every year, which is coming up soon. I'd like to extend an invite for you to join us on that one. Obviously, with time permitting and schedules working, we understand absolutely if they don't work out, but we'd love to have you on. There's about 30 or 40 different squares this time with a smorgasbord of different celebrities. DJ Silver is going to be on it. Probably some friends of yours as well. We'd love to have you on that. I'll have Nick reach out to you and your management as far as that. So you don't need to commit right now unless you want to.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely. I do know if it's on. Is it on?
Oh, heck no. No. We wouldn't do that to you. Come on. You know, we recorded a couple of weeks prior and then we air it on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But I mean, that would be good.
Yeah, if the only thing that would keep me from doing it is if it's, I've got something else going on.
Fair enough. And we understand that.
Shoot an email out
to everyone watching worldwide. However you may be watching, however you may be listening, thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you. Like, up, subscribe, do all the things, and we'll catch you on the very next episode of Dadcast. And don't forget to check out our brother podcast.
Go ahead, Nick. Rockstar Dad Show with Jarrett and Gary from Bowling for Soup.
There you go. All right. And we'll catch all of you on the very next episode. Lions, not sheep. Go check out our website. Get your discount for some awesome clothing. And we love you all. Craig Campbell, have a great rest of your day. Stay safe in that Tesla. You are amazing. We'll talk to you soon, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.
All right, man. Thank you all.
See you guys. See you, bubba.